City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to a Bismarck edition of City Current. It's Wednesday, May 15th. I'm here with Jason Timonic from the City of Bismarck.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm pretty darn good. It's mid-May.
It is.
Right in the middle of the month. And again, I just want to remind our audience always that we are recording on May 15th. Our program, this program will run for approximately a week before it goes away. Okay. And then we sit down with Mandan after their City Commission meeting. So we're here to talk about the Bismarck City Commission meeting of last night.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. There was a lot of things on the agenda, so we want to get right to it. And there were a couple of consent agenda items I think we wanted to talk about, even though they weren't pulled out for discussion. We do want to talk about them. And one of them is an issue that keeps coming back to us.
Topic.
Yes, it does. Because these things take a while to move their way through. And that is liquor licenses.
Right.
This was a call for a public hearing, which will be in 2 weeks. Back to the commission for consideration, final consideration.
Right. So the liquor license discussion has been materializing over probably the last 6 months. And we've had a series of meetings with liquor store owners, bar owners, restaurant owners, business owners throughout the community. This is the initial change that everyone is comfortable with. And what we're talking about is currently our liquor licenses are capped based on population, and we talk about official census data. Well, official censuses are every 10 years, so we won't have another census until 2020. Likely won't have the results until 2021. One of the agreed upon changes is to move from official census data to estimated census data.
Okay.
So we have annual estimates based on annexation, building permits, the growth of the community. Our estimates now tell us that we're about 12,000 people more than we were 10 years ago at the last census. So what that really means is instead of waiting every 10 years to release a new Class D license and a new Class E license, those are the...
Those are kind of dependent on census numbers now.
Those are the only two that we have that are census-based. The D licenses are for bars and liquor stores, and the E licenses are for beer-only bars and then convenience stores that have off-sale for beer.
Okay.
So those two are capped based on official census data today.
So that the change that was going to be considered in two weeks would change the language in the ordinance to allow estimated census data.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yes.
And then the other issue I noticed on for your call for a public hearing in 2 weeks would be the creation of an additional license.
That's right. So during these discussions, the senior living communities in Bismarck came to us and said, you know, some of their facilities around the region are providing cocktails for sale for the residents and their guests. So we're talking about places like Touchmark and Edgewood, places that have active seniors.
It just allows them to move forward.
It's another service that they can provide to the residents. So that would be a new license created just for senior living communities. But then maybe more of the bigger change would be to the D's and the E licenses.
Sure.
So next step, public hearing in 2 weeks. So if anybody has thoughts, questions, ideas, get a hold of us now and you can certainly ask questions or come to those hearings.
There's been a few meetings along with all the providers in the community along this path.
Right.
As we've gone through. So I would assume the bar owners, the current license holders are being notified that the public meeting is
happening. We've had a good group of operators that have been a part of these conversations.
And given testimony at the meetings
as
well.
And we love that. We like to know that we're engaging with them and we're not doing something that could negatively impact them down the road.
Right.
So it's appropriate for them to be engaged and be a part of these conversations because it's affecting the way they can do business too.
And if the... At the public hearing, there's a public hearing, and then if the commission moves forward and adopts the changes in the ordinance, you anticipate there could possibly be another license authorized very soon, within the next few months.
Right, and that was part of the discussions with the Class D and E holders today, is there was a concern that there would be a surge or an influx
Flood of
new licenses, because the way the ordinance is written today, if we based it on estimated census data, it's quite likely we could have 5 new licenses available right now, mm-hmm. just based on population sure. increases. So to keep from saturating the market, to be fair to the business owners that have made those investments, because let's be honest here, the D licenses are expensive.
Right. It's an asset within that or that business. Yeah.
No question about it. Uh-huh. We understand it. And because there is a limited number of them, mm-hmm. it drives the value of that license up. If we were to push 5 licenses out at once, it would have some negative consequences sure. throughout the community.
So it'll be done incrementally with data to back it up.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. So later this summer, we could see a new Class D and a new Class E license up for auction, and those become a sealed bid auction through the city, and we can talk about that if we get to that point
okay.
later this summer.
And we'll talk about it again in 2 weeks
yep.
when you come back. So
sounds great.
Also on the consent agenda was another call for a public hearing, which will come back in 2 weeks, is a zoning change for Memory Second Edition. Mm-hmm. Now, this would be property on North Highway 83
right.
to the east.
Right, just yeah. north of Brookside Lane, mm-hmm. Nestled between Brookside Lane and 57th Avenue.
And it's where Memory Fireworks has a building right now.
Right in that general vicinity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the item that was up for review last night was a final plat, an annexation, and a zoning change for this piece of property.
Mm-hmm. We have a little map up here, and I apologize that my maps are... seem a little dated. There's a lot of things missing on
just
this.
Just shows how fast the town is growing.
It really does. So we're talking about this particular area right in here. Am I right?
Right. It's closely located to the MHA Nation treatment facility mm-hmm. that was just constructed last year. So for all intents and purposes, if we're looking for landmarks, we're almost straight east of the Furniture Row facility.
Correct. Okay. And then what the will be considered as a zoning change. Primarily, it's a zoning change.
A zoning change and a final plat. I misspoke. I did say annexation, but that was not part of the request okay. last night. So zoning change and a plat. And these are very common steps mm-hmm. in the process of development. Mm-hmm. Right now, the land, it's considered raw land. So it's zoned agricultural. There are, you know, there may be easements in place, but they're not the right easements for city utilities. Of course, we need to dedicate roadways and things like that to go along with it. So that's all part of the platting process.
Okay. I
think it's fair to say that development typically follows these types of things. So there is likely a project that is being considered by the owners. We don't know what it is at this time, but stay tuned. You know, Highway 83 is a very quickly changing corridor as mm-hmm. our community continues to grow. It's the largest commercial corridor in Bismarck.
It's quickly changing, but your long-range planning documents all support this commercial
Absolutely.
Activity
yeah.
along Highway 83, and that's been in place for a number of years.
Right. We're working off a land use plan that was done back in, I want to say, 2005 or 6, that mm-hmm. It was called the Highway 83 Corridor Study, and sure. it looked at that area of Highway 83 and then about a mile on each side of the corridor as well, and it looked at land use and transportation functions. So this aligns yeah. exactly with that Highway 83 will continue to be a large commercial corridor as okay. it continues to grow up through the north.
So we'll probably talk about that in a couple weeks again.
Sure.
Yeah.
We sure can.
When it comes back to the agenda. So on the regular agenda, moving on to mm-hmm. the regular agenda last night, UMary was there. University mm-hmm. of Mary representatives were there, and the commission agreed to move forward on a purchase option mm-hmm. on a piece of property that would be across the front avenue directly north of the event center.
Right.
Which is public health, right?
It is the current location of Bismarck-Burley Public Health.
Yeah.
BSC was a tenant in there with their Allied Health Services program. That's moved out, and they're moving up to closer to their campus. Mm-hmm. But this is the actual facility, the building and the grounds that go tied to public health.
Used to be a Wachter storage.
It was a storage facility built in the early 1900s mm-hmm. by the Wachter family. So
used because of its proximity to the rail.
To the rail, yep, yeah. absolutely. And the livestock facilities that were
sure.
south of the rail,
okay.
south of kind of where the event center is today. Okay. There was some livestock operations there as well. But UMary has had an option to purchase this building for, I want to say, 4 years now. Their option expired in 2020. They've engaged with us and said, we're ready to move forward. We've heard, yeah. obviously, big news from the University of Mary campus that they've raised a significant amount of money over the last year or so, and they're looking to put that to good use.
Expand some of their campus operations mm-hmm. into mm-hmm. that building eventually.
Yep.
They did say there was no immediate need for public health to move, but part of the motion last night mm-hmm. did include an instruction to staff to start looking for new quarters for public health.
Right. So for us, we will want to be very strategic about where public health is located, because it does impact those that rely on public health services, and we want to make sure that it's in a location in our community that is accessible for as many people as possible, and a place that makes sense for us too.
Sure.
You know, financially, fiscally, we recognize that there's a cost that goes along with these things, but we've got time to work on that. I don't want to say that we've got years, but certainly, you know, 12 to 18 months would be a good horizon to start making some pretty firm plans on the next move for Bismarck-Burley Public Health. Okay.
Well, you'll keep us informed on that. And will this issue of the purchase agreement come back to the commission in a formal agreement at some point then within the next few months?
I don't believe it will come back? I think this is kind of the final step.
I see.
Our attorneys will work with their attorneys and get everything
finalized within the next few months, I suppose?
I would expect so.
Okay.
You know, there's always some hiccups that can happen with real estate transactions and things, but all signs are moving forward on this one, and we wish them the best of luck as they move into downtown and bring some of their students with them.
Yeah, that should be fantastic. Well, we're in the neighborhood of the event center, so we can talk about the next item on your agenda.
Yeah, Christmas.
Last night was,
Christmas in May.
We're far away from Christmas right now. But there were cookies last night. There were cookies and milk served. Mm-hmm. There was
some talk of Santa,
decorations. It sounded pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So the commission decided that they would like to support this event, and there were a lot of ideas floating around. I know Eileen Walsh presented from Dakota West Arts Council, as well as Amanda Bacadal from the event center. So lots of ideas for Christmas coming up for a citywide celebration where the focus will be down at the event center.
Yep, a capital city Christmas.
Yeah, nice.
That's what they're calling it. So everything from a tree lighting, breakfast with Santa. Of course, there's a myriad of activities over the Christmas holiday with the local children's choirs, performing arts, and all of that would be highlighted through this process. And as Eileen mentioned last night, the punctuation at the end, the exclamation mark, would be a New Year's Eve gala, black tie gala, at the event center with all the ceremonial things that you would hope to find. So
fireworks.
Fireworks were part of the package.
Yeah.
So this could be the start of something really, really big.
And
this could be a lot of fun.
We should be real careful in just saying a lot of ideas are floating. They're exploring all sorts of opportunities, and that's just a great way to start.
Right.
But nothing is specific yet.
Nothing's been finalized.
Yeah.
This was really the commission's first look at this concept. So there have been some meetings that have taken place prior to this to get the planning stages started. But this was the first glimpse at what is the vision? What is really being explored here?
And the reason it came to the city commission level was the ask, so to speak, was to allow event center staff to be a part of the planning of this event. And then eventually during the event to provide some of that space, in-kind space, free of charge to the event. They would still cover all the labor and whatnot.
Right.
And the commission agreed that this looks like something that we could get behind. And the potential for growth is so great with this.
Yeah. And the proximity to downtown, the relationship to the mall, it all makes sense to be here. I think it's worth mentioning that the intent here is to help raise funds to support some of the local arts groups and through grants and efforts that Dakota West Arts administers.
Yeah, you mentioned there's a lot of events already at Christmas. A lot of our arts groups do. Northern Plains does a big show, as does Central Dakota Children's Choir, the Civic Chorus. They all do Christmas shows. There's room for more growth there, more audience members. And then they also talked about new events, too. They were a little secretive about that.
They didn't want to spoil anything.
Yes.
Eileen did also mention the desire to create a website that showcases all of the activities. So you've got a one-stop shop for events during the holiday season.
And she also said that if people have ideas or are willing to volunteer and be a part of this, that they should contact Dakota West Arts Council for that and get on the list.
Yeah. No, I think this is a great effort. I think this is going to be the start of something really, really cool.
Yeah, it will definitely evolve over time, no doubt. But this is a great way to start it out, and
lots of excitement. Take some work, too.
Lots of excitement and free cookies, but I heard you didn't get a cookie.
I didn't take a cookie, but I heard to the baker of the cookie, I heard they were fantastic. So it was nice of them to pass some cookies around. I think almost everyone in the Tom Baker room last night was able to get a cookie.
Well,
there were a
nice.
Lot of cookies available. So Christmas cookies.
There you go. So. There you go. You don't often see that at a city commission.
No, not in May.
Not probably at a commission meeting. You don't see a lot of food being served.
Probably could have used them in the last couple of meetings when we had four-hour meetings. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or at least get a pizza delivered, as you've referred to in the past. Back on the agenda again, another item. Main Avenue three-lane conversion project came back. Gabe Schell, city engineer, brought that forward. And the commission agreed to award this contract to Strata last night.
That's right. And the delay was the traffic signals. So we've talked about reconfiguring or repairing or in some cases replacing the traffic signals and even removing some of the traffic signals along Main Avenue to help with that traffic progression. The cost of those traffic control signals, cabinets, arms, it added to the overall project.
Sure.
That wasn't part of the initial scope, but in looking at them,
I think there was an assumption, that those traffic signals were adequate.
Right.
They didn't have to be replaced.
Right.
And when you got into the design and engineering of the project, determined that this isn't going to work.
Things change. The mast arms aren't configured right for the signal heads.
Right.
They may not be strong enough to hold some of that. So they're looking at replacing them. The good news is pavement markings will start very, very soon in 2019. We'll see that part of the project done.
I think that will help
a
lot.
Yes, it will. Mm-hmm. And then it's likely that the traffic signals and the controllers and all of that may be 2020. So we'll get in the queue. As Gabe Schell mentioned last night, there's just a couple of manufacturers that are actually providing this type of equipment. So we'll get on the list, and as quickly as they can construct them, we'll do our best to get them installed. So, but pavement markings for sure this year. Traffic signals potentially for 2020.
Okay, moving forward. And as someone who's worked downtown for quite a while and spent a lot of time down here, parking along Main Avenue is a different experience now. It's not as frenzied.
It's not as harrowing to open your door.
Yeah, in the past it was like get in there quick, get in there as fast as you can and and time your exit from your driver's side door. Much calmer, not quite as frenzied as a, and this is my personal opinion, but I appreciate that. I do. I was a little leery at first of this whole, you know, do we really need this change kind of a thing? And I know it comes with a cost, but I think in the long run, I think it's a winning combination. That with the changes on Broadway or Chancellor Square, one way to back
it just
to
makes traffic
to
flow.
I think it's I think it seems to be working.
And we still see that people get caught in the intersections from time to time. You've got trains, you've got cars that are turning, you've got pedestrians, you've got a variety of things that can impede traffic. But this isn't the only place in town where this happens. You know, you drive Rosser Avenue and it happens too. And we're really talking about peak travel times anyway, in the mornings and in the evenings. I think once it's all said and done.
Noon hours.
Noon can be tricky.
Midday.
But we also heard from a lot of the business owners that the traffic on Main Avenue, the volume, the audible volume has decreased. The noise from the cars hurrying up to get around other cars and going past one another at high rates of speed.
Again,
a lot of that
diminished. Frenzied experience just doesn't seem to be there. And then also taking away the train whistles.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quieter.
So we quieted down, made it more pedestrian friendly, safer. It's all the right, all the right
combination.
Moves. You bet.
I think so too. Another item coming back to the agenda. At the request of Commissioner Marquardt, was a development east of the community called Clear Sky.
Right.
That was, I believe, a public hearing at your last meeting. There was a lot of testimony. Am I correct? That was
your
last meeting.
You're right on. Yep.
Okay. A lot of testimony from the neighboring neighborhood development. And the commission at that point decided, what was that motion at that point, at last meeting?
The motion was to approve the subdivision, but it failed for lack of majority.
Okay.
So it wasn't to deny the subdivision. It wasn't to stop it in its tracks. It was to approve it as presented. And that motion failed. There was not a following motion. What we had last night was...
That's a good clarification because people were questioning, why is this coming back to the agenda?
Okay. Yes.
So that left the door open for that to happen.
Right. And through the last few weeks, there has been more information that's been shared. One of the things that was brought up by the neighborhood was concerns about 52nd Street, its ability to handle traffic, its condition. Of course, Apple Creek Road has some trouble seasonally from year to year. But information from the county engineer, Marcus Hall, was shared about 52nd Street. And that helped clarify that 52nd Street can handle this traffic. There was also additional information provided from the developer last night mm-hmm. that wasn't shared during the public hearing. And that talked about the phasing of this development. And we know it's 200 and some lots, but it's not 200 and some lots all at once. There will be many years of phases that will take place over time. So in short, new information was shared, and the commission felt that there was enough new information to reconsider or renew the request, and we will see that come back in 2 weeks.
So again, a public hearing.
A new public
weeks.
Hearing.
Okay.
More information, new information would be shared at that time. Of course, the neighbors, anybody would have the opportunity to provide comment, but we will see what this one looks like in 2 more weeks.
The developer also provided information regarding the size of the lots mm-hmm. and also the buffer on the north end of the properties. There was concern, and we do have a map I can bring up here too about this. Again, apologies, it's a little dated. The trees on the north end of the proposed Clear Sky addition.
Right. At the last meeting, some of the neighbors in that rural subdivision, Prairie View subdivision, I believe it's called, had concerns about the density, the size of the lots, urban density versus rural density. And what was shared last night is that the lot ratio, urban lot to rural lot, would be 2 urban lots for every 1 rural lot. So, you know, the urban lots are about half as wide east to west as the rural lots would be. But the exception for the new urban lots is that they're significantly deeper than most conventional lots. In some cases, I believe they were 185 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to allow for that existing tree row or tree stand
to remain in place.
Mm-hmm. And the developer shared that there will be covenants requiring any of the new homeowners in Clear Sky install new trees and then continue to maintain them. So there is a permanent buffer between those two subdivisions.
Right.
So, again, new information. We don't know what this will look like in a couple of weeks. But
response of the fire department was also talked about.
Right.
And I think Commissioner Marquardt addressed that and said, we do have the new fire station up on Merriam.
Merriam will come right down 52nd Street or down Expressway.
Yeah.
So a reconsideration of the request, and we'll see in 2 weeks where this goes.
Okay. We will report back in 2 weeks. The last thing on your regular agenda last night was the wrap-up of the legislative activity, the 2019 report from Keith Hunke provided that information. So we've heard in the media a lot in the last few weeks, the wrap-up of the state legislature and all the successes and some of the challenges. But for the city specifically, there were a couple of items you wanted to
talk
about.
A couple of big-ticket ones, Prairie Dog Bill, which we heard a lot about, and that's primarily funding for infrastructure. And it'll be statewide. Almost every community will see the impacts of that in one way or another. Bismarck, being a larger city, a rapidly growing city, will benefit significantly from that. I believe the number that we're hearing is about $16.2 million.
Now, it'll be over the course of the biennium.
Right.
Okay.
And this is based on expectations and estimates of oil production, oil price per barrel of oil, and things like that. We definitely have a need for infrastructure funding, and not wanting to spend the money before it gets here, but we're starting to talk about, you know, the types of projects that we would be looking at to continue to support the infrastructure that we have. The other significant bill that passed is the SIREN 2020 bill. So that stands for the State Interoperable Radio Network. We're really talking about first responders, emergency responders, all getting on a unified system for communications, both with equipment and technology. We're talking about a 5-year implementation across the state, but this is a bill that supports some gaps in the communications. And I've heard some of the local reps, senators and reps, talk about one of the things during the DAPL protest that stood out very significantly was the communications gap, where you could have a highway patrolman on one side of the road and a sheriff on the other side of the road, and they couldn't communicate effectively because of the technology barriers. So this will help bring that all into a nice bundled project so everybody can work together from a first responder's perspective.
Is this equipment as well as frequency issues and transmission issues?
Oh, you're going to test my technology questions okay. now. I believe it is both.
Okay.
It would be equipment for sure. And then radio frequencies. I believe there's been some talk of the LTE network using cellular data as well. So we'll watch it all come together.
Yeah.
And we'll certainly be a part of this because CENTCOM, which is a big player in our world.
Absolutely.
Is going to be right front and center with all of this as well.
CENTCOM is Bismarck, Mandan, and Burleigh County. Mm-hmm. In fact, didn't you have a meeting just in the last week about the lease agreement?
We did.
And yeah, moving forward.
We had a special meeting last week, Friday, where we had representatives from Burleigh County and
City of Mandan
and City of Bismarck, all three players as part of CENTCOM.
Mm-hmm.
And the move there was to start constructing a facility that's attached to Dakota Carrier Network and move the CENTCOM location from where it is today to this new facility. Part of the reason is the infrastructure, but then also the building has that ability to withstand natural disasters. And you, of course, need that if you're talking communications.
It's a safer location.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a great move there for all three of the members of CENTCOM. And I think it's a very forward-looking, positive step for communications and emergency management.
Well, in this legislative Siren 2020, this result of the legislature is timely to come into with CENTCOM's new move. And how long do you think it'll take for that building to go up? About a couple of years?
Yeah, I would expect at least 18 months or so. There's some pretty specialized construction that goes into that.
Yeah, yeah.
So one thing I would like to add with the legislative wrap-up this year, through efforts with the Chamber EDC, through our own staff, through local reps, the communication with the Bismarck representation at the legislature was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard it on both sides that this year was different than many years in the past, and different in a better way, that we were able to share information directly with our local representatives and senators, but then also they were willing to reciprocate all of that information. I think seeing that communication work really well is fantastic because this
makes
is our chance to make things make positive changes. So thanks to everybody throughout that entire process.
Yeah, that's great. We're done with the regular agenda from last night, but we had a couple of items we want to talk about, and one of them is your strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
Your call for projects is still out there.
Still open till the end of the month.
Okay.
So for anybody that isn't aware of what the call for projects is, it's a component of our strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
We're working through the process to finalize the plan. Hopefully by the end of June, we'll have that wrapped up. The call for projects, though, is an opportunity for anyone in the community to propose an idea or a concept or a project that would bolster community pride, develop a sense of place, anything that would benefit the overall citizenry of our community.
And the city could possibly facilitate this idea and help it along.
Right. So if people are interested, I would encourage them to go to our webpage, bismarcknd.gov. It's right in our spotlight. There's an application. We'd ask you to elaborate on the project, talk about the concept, what's the ask of the city, what's the impact on the community. How does this make Bismarck a better place?
Okay.
And there's no application fee. It's I've been telling people it's kind of a low barrier application. We didn't write it in a way that you need a PhD to fill this out. This is, if you have an idea, we want to hear about
it. Well, and if they have questions, I'm sure you can reached at City Hall.
355-1300 is where you'll find me.
Thank you. Last item on our agenda, or on our list of topics, I should say, is there's a meeting coming up Wednesday, a week from today, which would be Wednesday, May 22nd. And this is the Highway 83 Alternative Study. It's a public input meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity for people who are concerned about what's going to happen in the future for Highway 83. This will be the plan for the future.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is the fourth public meeting that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
So besides having a website and all the other information that's out there, this is an opportunity to take a look and attend that meeting. It's at Century High School. Starts at 6:30 on Wednesday, May 22nd. And that website, if you want to go in and look at what's been developed so far, is HWY83ALTSTUDY.com, Highway83AltStudy.com.
There you go.
Go in there and find out. And if you're interested, what's going on Highway 83, and there's a lot of a development up there. So if you want to take a look at that, attend the meeting. It's a public input meeting. So
hosted by the Bismarck-Mandan Metropolitan Planning Organization, the group that's conducting the study.
A lot of work goes into that, and that serves as a plan for the future. So it's important. So
good stuff.
Thanks for being here today.
You're welcome.
We're all
thanks
done.
For having me.
All right. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great.
And thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit bismarcknd.gov or call 701-355-1300. If you have suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access, Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.